because of churches like Gilead Baptist Church and churches that co-partner together. And you know, I can't do what I do without churches like you. And you love the Great Commission and missions and giving, you know, and helping to support missionaries. And I'm your missionary, and so we are co-partners, and you're part of all of this, amen. And so, you know, this is a team effort. And so thank you so much, Pastor and Church. I tell you what, we appreciate you, love you, and, you know, I really, God's been good to me in a lot of areas. One of those that through the years I've traveled in missions, I've flown a million miles. I have driven over a million miles. And I have preached probably in 4,500 churches around the world in America. And I've met so many choice pastors, good men, like your pastor, Pastor Holmes, and his wife. And we appreciate, you know, it's been a blessing. I have so many. Paul had many helpers. He had many helpers. He was only one man, but he had many helpers. If you study there in Romans chapter 16, there are 35 personalities he mentions there in Romans 16. You know, I'm one person, but with the power of multiplication together, so much can be accomplished for the glory of God. And thank you again for your giving and you're praying. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts now, chapter 20. I'm not preaching out of Acts 20, but I just want to give a foundation here and to Acts chapter number 20. And do y'all stand, preacher, or do you? All right, okay, all right, just stay right where you at. The book of Acts chapter 20, I want you to look at this right here. And notice your Bible said in Acts 20, now Paul in verse number 24. Now Paul he's before the Ephesian elders. And he had passed by Mytilene and Miletus. And he comes to this area. You'll notice, of course, he's in Troas and Assos. And then if you'll look at verse 17, from Miletus. He sent for the Ephesian elders there. Remember, the church of Ephesus born out of Acts chapter number 19 around AD 56. And we find here that he makes a statement here that challenges me. I am 66 years of age. I've been saved 47 years. I've been saved 48 years. I've been preaching 47 years. And been married 47 years, August the 10th. And, you know, I started, you know, well. And I want to finish well. I don't want to compromise. I don't want to straddle the fence. I don't want to change. I want to stay in the old past. Amen. And so you find that Paul, preacher, we would say that he got saved around AD 36. He was martyred around AD 68. I know sometimes these numbers can, some argue different things. But anyway, I will say he was saved around AD 36. He was martyred around AD 68. That means his ministry covered about 32 years of time. Think of what he accomplished in 32 years of ministry. And how God blessed him and used him. And you know, I want to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. But yet, as you get older, you look back upon your ministry. And, boy, I want to see fruit remaining. I want to see producing and things happening for the glory of God. And Paul makes a statement right here. Look in verse 24. He says here, "But none of these things move me." And he says, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself." Notice what he says, "that I might finish my course," he says, "with joy." And boy, I want to finish my course with joy. I want to finish my course with joy. And then notice what he said, and he said, "and the ministry." Well, you'd have to go back to Acts 9 there where the Lord told Ananias, He said he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Jews, the Gentiles, and the kings of, and you'll find that in there in Acts chapter number 9. But he said, in the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now Paul here in Acts 20 said to the Ephesian elders, he says, so that I might finish my course with joy. Boy, he had that momentum, had that desire, had that ambition, had that forbearance, and had that endurance. Ah, listen, he didn't want to quit. He didn't want to stop short. He didn't want to give up. But then if you go to about 7 to 8 years later, go with me to 2 Timothy now, and again, I'm not preaching out of the pastoral epistles, but I just want to make an application. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and here we find that this is probably, as we would say, as Paul is writing, course, and there from Rome in prison there, and 2 Timothy, and notice he's writing there to Timothy in verse number 6, and he said, remember in Acts 20, he said, so that I might finish my course. And he wanted to finish his course. He had a lot of ministry ahead of him. And we find there in Acts 20, Acts 21 ended his third missionary campaign. You remember the three campaigns in Acts 13 to 14? That was southern Galatia, 2 years and 2,000 miles. Acts chapter number 15, about verse 41, you'll find started the second missionary campaign with Acts 16, 17, 18, covering 4 years and 4,000 miles. Acts 19, 20 and 21, another 4 years, 4,000 miles. In Acts chapter number, 15, I believe in verse 41, it says, and so that from Jerusalem and roundabout covered 10 years and 10,000 miles of traveling by horse, by an animal, by boat, or by walking. And my friend, listen, he helped fulfill the Great Commission, and churches were born all over those geographical areas. And Paul is saying, so that I might finish my course. Boy, I want to finish my course. I want to stay faithful because of the Savior. Boy, I don't want to quit. He went all the way. And beloved, you and I, we don't want to stop short, amen, because of the Savior. Because of my wife, what would it do, Pastor, if I quit? Oh, how would it affect your wife, and how would it affect my wife? Because not only I listen of the Savior and your spouse, what about your seed? What about your children? Oh, listen, they're watching you. They're looking up to you. They're watching your faithfulness. They're watching your prayer life, are hearing your prayer life. They're watching your consistency. Oh, my grandbabies. Oh, I want them to know, Papa, he went all the way with God. Amen. He stayed faithful in the house of God. He didn't forsake the house of God. He stayed in the Bible. He stayed as a soul winner. Oh, he believed the Word of God. Amen. And but yet Satan accused you of the brethren in them because of the second coming. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then one day the seat, the judgment seat of Almighty God, we're going to stand before the tribunal to give an account of things done to the body according to that which you've done, whether it be good or bad. So that I might finish my course. But then we come here to 2 Timothy, 7, 8 years later, timeline there probably, but notice in verse number 7, and notice in verse 7, you didn't tell me how long to preach, amen, you said preach, amen. I done drank that water, I'm sorry, it's gone. All right, but I remember what you said, amen. All right, now, he said a big gallon jug, amen, one of them big, it's all right now. No, I'm like Pharaoh, he knows that. Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go. All right. Now look at verse number 7. And Paul has said here, he said, now he's looking back over time, and he says here, I have fought a good fight. Boy, I have fought a good fight. Boy, that's something, but I want to be able to say that. I want to live until the rapture of the church. Amen. I'm praying for that. But if the Lord takes me earlier, on my dying bed or my dying words, I want to hear them say, I have fought a good fight, amen, that I might finish my course. I have kept the faith. Notice all the three high haves here. And in verse number 9, or verse number 7 there, I have fought a good fight, and I finished my course. And then he said, I have kept the faith. Amen. And so now, all right, all that being said, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians, where I'm going to preach it. Amen. But look at 2 Corinthians here. Paul is writing the church at Corinth. And I was praying about what to preach, and the Lord laid upon this passage on my heart here this morning. And but I want to give you five things here for out of 2 Corinthians. Paul, we know that in 1 Corinthians there, and in Acts chapter number 20, if you look in verse, you don't have to turn it up, you can remember that. In verse number 2, he uses the word Greece. And we believe there in Acts 20 in verse number 2, that right there, of course, is where he, of course, wrote there the book of Romans and the book of Galatians. But the verse before that is Macedonia. He mentions there in verse number 1, and Macedonia, that's where we believe that he wrote 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians he wrote from Ephesus there. But anyway, we find that he's writing to the church of Ephesus. And this is the second epistle here. But notice in verse number 1, and the Bible said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. Notice the Bible says, we faint not. And that's mentioned several times in this chapter. And I was talking to Brother Preston back there and his wife a moment ago, but way back here in the back. And he was asking me, how was James doing? And there in Cordell, Georgia. And James's daddy, Johnny, was the one really that God used for me being saved. And so anyway, that was, I was telling him about the history of that. And you know, when I think about it, you know, God used his testimony, God used his influence, God used his demeanor for as a Christian, a child of God, and how he carried himself. I was lost, blinded by the devil. I listened on my road to hell, but yet God used Johnny's life and testimony. And I remember, well, after I'd OD'd on drugs and almost died on that stunt, then I remember looking up to heaven and saying, God, if you'll let me live, I want you to give me what Johnny's got. Amen. Johnny Kelly. And listen, our lives, our faith, our consistency, our love for the church, love for the Bible, love for the souls of mankind. Oh, listen, others are watching us. And boy, I thank God that I had a Johnny Kelly in my life that God used. And notice the Bible said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and what a privilege it is to be involved in the Lord's work. Amen. Boy, I put my family in the house of God, and I just wrapped the church around my family. Amen. And boy, I wanted to be there faithful at every service and be involved, and we've done that through the years. And therefore, seeing we have this ministry, the Bible said, as we have received mercy, notice the Bible said we faint not. You know, beloved, I don't want to lose heart. Boy, I don't want to have faint-heartedness. I don't want to, you know, be weak-kneed, we would say. Or I don't want to have disrupted faith. I want to have dynamic faith. I don't want to have dead faith. I want to have faith that believes God and trust the Lord. And Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. He says, oh, we faint not. And go down to verse number 4 for sake of time. But, you know, one of the reasons why that I don't want to lose heart. I don't want to go backward. I don't want to be a Demas. I don't want to be a Diotrephes. I don't want to be a John Mark. John Mark there, they're kin to Barnabas. And there they were, pastor, and the church has sent them out in Acts 13. And John Mark went with them, and there he was traveling with Barnabas and Paul and going to unreached territory and unreached people and having the privilege to work with some of the greatest missionaries in the Bible. Why? And all of a sudden he left. He abated. He quit. Was it because maybe he got his eyes upon, maybe there's people that are going to rob us over there, and there's people that are going to harm us, and I don't know what we're going to get into. And all, he came back to home, and all, we believe it was Peter that restored him. Many say, there in 2 Peter, Marcus, my son, and all, listen, but what I'm trying to say is this, is that, you know, he stopped short of serving God. And sometimes we can get our eyes upon circumstances. We can get our eyes upon the COVID. We can get our eyes upon others. And my friend, get them off of the Lord Jesus Christ. We faint not. Boy, I don't want to faint. Amen. I listen, hey, I know it's real. I know it's real. I know things. I've seen the suffering. I've seen so many things all over the world. But oh, therefore the Bible said, in other words, we faint not. Verse 4, look at it. Number 1 here is in, the Bible said, in whom, well, look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, the gospel be hid. When I think about the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think about the opportunity, I remember, I think on the PowerPoint I showed you, my first container of Bibles. When I had the first container of Bibles, preacher, I, you don't mind if I walk, but if I walk, I preach longer. Amen. But anyway, I'll try not to take too long. Amen. But I remember the first container of Bibles. I stepped out by faith. I never had did this. I was before 1,800 people there in Malaba, Africa. And I remember pretty sure there was all them people, and all of a sudden I said, how many of you have a Bible? Hold your Bible up or raise your hand. And only 100 people raised their hand out of 1,800 people. Well, it broke my heart. I began to cry. I began to weep. And I said, I don't know how. And I don't know when. But I said, God's going to get you a Bible. And so I come back to America. I told Dr. Runyon, I said, Dr. Runyon, I said, I have stepped out. I was like Peter walking on the water. I got out of that boat. I don't know how we're going to do this. I've never shipped a container of Bibles. I don't know where to get Bibles. I've never raised the amount of money I'm going to need to ship these Bibles. And I don't know who to ship them with. And in 6 months, God gave me 42,000 King James Bibles. God gave us the money to ship the Bibles. And we shipped the Bibles, my first container. You saw it there on the PowerPoint. I said, Dr. Aitko, don't you give them Bibles out till I get there. And boy, when I got there, boy, I saw them Bibles. I saw all them Bibles sitting there. And then on that Sunday, oh, listen, we passed out Bibles and people were crying. Getting a Bible for the first time. Mamas and daddies and children, teenagers, getting a copy of the Word of God. Oh, listen, their Bible. This is my Bible. And oh, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them the lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds. And all this, and Dr. Fisk preached that morning, I remember, and we had 156 people to walk the aisle for salvation. 156 people come down and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But we faint not because of the condition of the world. I'm glad that somebody witnessed to me. I'm glad somebody told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad somebody had a burden. I'm glad somebody was faithful and stayed by the stuff. Amen. And oh, listen, hey, I want to be found faithful. I want to stay, listen, in the house of God. But then number one there, we faint not. Don't lose heart. Sometimes you can get discouraged and disquieted and despondent. I understand that. But then number two, if you're going down to verse 6, and notice your Bible says, let me read verse 4. In whom the God of this world blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Boy, I've seen that light come on in villages. all over Africa. We have seven, I think it's seven churches in Menangia. I just recently, I told, we had a container to come to Africa last year, and then Francis Dalava from Nairobi, I said, I want you to take a van, rent a van, and we've not shipped a container into Nairobi, only into Malaba, and it's an 8-hour drive, but I said, what I want you to do is, I said, I want you to come to Malaba. I said, tell me what it costs. Tell me what it costs to rent a van. Tell me how much money you'll need for the fuel. But I said, I want you to come all the way to Malaba. And I said, I want you to get enough Bibles and enough gospel tracts and enough John and Romans and Swahili and English. I want you to get several thousands and bring them back. And all they're bringing them back to Menangia. And all Menangia's full of witchcraft over there. I mean, it's got all kinds of stuff over there in that area. But oh, listen, my friend, listen, when they bring in the light of the Word of God, hallelujah, darkness, my friend, listen, the power of the devil's going to be broken. People are going to get saved by the grace of God. And oh, listen, don't lose heart. We faint not because of the condition of the world. And then look at verse number 6. I love this right here in verse number 6. And the Bible said in verse number 6 here, it says, For God who commanded the light to shine, out of darkness shine. Notice the prepositional phrase. It said, in our hearts. I love it to see. I love to see others get saved. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a drunkard's home. None of my family knew God. They were not church people. Johnny Kelly was the first one to get saved in Gail. And then the next one was me. And I got saved. My first year of Bible college preacher. Boy, God put a burden on my heart. Said, I want you to call your grandma. And I called Grandma in Walhalla, South Carolina, and I said, Grandma, I said, God's put on my heart to come to the, can I come there and preach one Saturday? I said, in Bible College Tabernacle. She said, come on. And boy, I went down there on that Saturday. I carried my little street preaching pulpit that I used for street preaching there in Greenville, South Carolina. I went down there and we moved out, listen to the old table there and had the cane bottom chairs. Boy, the house was filled that day. Boy, I got up. Boy, I was going to swing them over hell, how I thought. But then God broke me, and they knew I was a drunk and a drug addict, snorting cocaine, smoking marijuana, and MDA and mescaline and all that stuff, and hit rock bottom. And when I got saved, and then I was just pouring my heart out to them, and all of a sudden, one of the first ones that got up and got saved was Grandma. And then I had an aunt got saved, and an uncle got saved, nephew got saved. And the last one to get saved was my grandpa, who fought World War II under General Patton. And all he got saved, and all they were faithful to the house of God. But then, after I got saved, preacher, God put a burden on my heart. He put a burden on me for my mother. Boy, she was a hard case. My wife knows, I mean, she is strong-willed, hard case. And she was not, rebellious to it. She just, she had never been born again. Had a kind of a religious demeanor. And been regenerated. And in heart. But then mother got diverticulitis. And it ruptured. And she was going to die. I was coming back from Africa. They called me and said, you better come. You want to see your mother alive? 41 years. There's a word in Luke 11. It's called importunity. And listen, that urgency, that endurance, in other words, forbearance, I'll not give up. God put that burden on my heart. And I had prayed for my mother for 41 years to get saved. And when I got there in the hospital room with the kids, the grandkids had made pictures and put them up on, we give them to us, we put them up on the wall for Mama to see them. I come in from Africa and I drove all the way there, just thinking she's going to die before I got there, praying all the way, preacher, don't let her die, don't let her die. And I got there And, you know, and she was all right, sitting up in the bed, we're talking. And I began to tell her about Africa. Thousands have been saved. Boy, churches have been started. And another container of Bibles and all of that. And we were talking about it, you know, to my sister and others. And all of a sudden, Mother leaned up and she said, "Richard, I want that." I said, "What, Mama?" I said, "You want these pictures on the wall?" And she said, "Oh, no." She said, "I want what you've been talking about." And for the... I, personally, after 41 years of praying, I got to lead my mother to the Lord. And oh, listen, we thank not because of the condition of the world. We thank not because, listen, the conversion of our own lives. Boy, I'm glad to be saved. Amen. I'm glad to be born again, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad, listen, that I know with the assurance that I'm saved. Amen. I've been regenerated. I've been justified. I've been sanctified. I've been sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Oh, listen, hey, we faint not. But then go down to verse number 10. And the Bible said here, always bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know, when I think about number 3 here by way of outline, I think of the cross we carry. You know, I'm a Christian. The book of Acts, it calls us Christians. It calls us a believer. It calls us a brethren or a sister in the Lord. It calls us a saint. But it also has another title. 5 titles. It's a disciple. And Luke 14 gives 3 of those qualifications. And John gives 2 qualifications. There are actually 5 verses related to being a true disciple. And boy, I want to be a true disciple. I want to be one that is going to carry the load and carry the cross, carry the burden. And you've been to Israel, right? I think, one time, 2 times. I remember going for the first time to, I think it was called Peter Gallicanti, the house of Caiaphas, the ruins, the dungeons. You remember when the Lord told Peter, there, he said, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times." And all, listen, I have preached in that area. I think I've been there, 16 times through the years, going into Egypt from there. And I remember thinking about that story and how that there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we believe it was Peter who cut that man's ear off, and the Lord healed him back. And then he crossed the Kidron, come to Annas, and then to Caiaphas, then to Herod, Pilate, the Praetorium. And oh, I think about there on the Sea of Tiberias, the Lake of Gennesaret, same thing. And the Lord said, "Peter, do you love me?" I ask you today, do you love him? Boy, do you love him? Boy, I want to love him. One day I'm going to see him face to face. I love the Lord. A.W. Tozer said, you have as much of God as you want. And boy, I tell you what, I know that Moses in the cleft of the rock. Boy, I want to see your glory. And boy, I want God today. I tell you what, I want to be full of the Holy Ghost of God. I want to stay by the stuff. I want to be found faithful. I don't want to lose heart because of the condition of the world. People are dying of their sin and going to hell. And we need to carry the gospel to them. Amen. Before the COVID, preacher, in our letters from Nationals, we were averaging 300 conversions a month from the letters. 300. And because of the conversion of our own lives, You remember Paul wrote there in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And God changed him that day in Acts 9. He wrote about it in Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. God gave 3 chapters about his conversion in the Bible. Galatians 1. But all this in the cross we bear and carry. I want to care. I want to be found faithful. I want to go all the way with God. It tore me up, preacher, and I know it did you. I appreciate the internet and the streamlining, all the stuff that maybe those that can't come, and I understand all that. And listen, we watched it, you know, some during the COVID, and we sat out in the parking lot and had the preaching, you know, outside, and we tried to do everything like everybody said, told us to do and all that. But oh, I missed the fellowship. I missed being around God's people. I missed being like right here. Oh, listen, hey, I want the house of God. I want the fellowship. I want to be around God's people. I love to hear you pray. I love to hear you sing. I love to be in the house of God where the man of God is preaching and the Holy Ghost is moving. You can't bypass the house of God. You can't do it. I need preaching. I like the fellowship of God's people. I like to be challenged. But all we find in those verses, and I got to quit, it's 11 o'clock in Alabama. Amen. You get it. I'll be fast. Look at number 4. Notice in verse 16, the Bible says, for which calls again. If you notice, that's mentioned here's the second time. The Bible said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, we faint not because of the communion with Him. I got in my own life, Pastor. I questioned, was my prayers being answered 9 years ago? God really did a work in my heart. And I had been taught prayer. I had taught prayer myself. But I began to critique and analyze what I was praying for and petitioning heaven for. Do I have the ear of God? Do I have faith to move mountains as a grain of sand? What kind of faith do I have? Belief. So I went through 35 books on the subject. Not reading all of it, critiquing it. Now I remember Dr. Seidel said at Tabernacle, he says, God's given me everything I asked for in the ministry. But wow. But I want that. I don't believe God's respecter of persons. If God give it to him and give it to me, I know the qualifications. I said, Lord, I want my prayers answered. I want to hear from heaven. I want to believe the Almighty. So God burned my heart one day, Pastor. I told my wife, I said, honey, I'll be gone today. I said, I'll be gone probably 6-7 hours. But I'm going to Washington, Georgia. I'd been over there in Europe to George Mueller's place in Bristol. So all of that and other places I can mention all over the world. I've been out of the country probably 75 times through the years. Missions. But God was working in my heart. And I went there and I said, where did Edward McHenry Bounds pray? I want to know where he prayed. And she told me, and I went up there. And I stood before God. And I said, Lord, teach me how to pray. I said, where was he buried? She said, you won't be able to find it. I said, tell me. She told me it took me 45 minutes to find him. I found it. the little bitty plaque out there, nothing fancy. And I went out there and stood before God and I said, Lord, teach me how to pray. And God put in my heart to write a prayer journal. And now when God lays on my heart something, I put it in my prayer journal and I date it. And I wait on God and I pray the promises of the Bible and I believe the Almighty. Just like last year in the midst of COVID, I'd ask God for the Bible college building. I knew it was going to take. I asked Andy, I said, how much money is it going to take? He told me, he said, we can do it probably, you know, for around $60,000. And God sent the money in a month and a half. And then I asked God for a container of Bibles. And God gave me the $14,000 to ship the container. I don't know, you know, I don't know where that's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know whom it's going to happen through. I have no idea. You know, sometimes missionaries will say, oh, run to the rich churches. Find them rich churches. Find them churches that's got a lot of money and go in there. Find who's the rich man in the church. Got over that a long time ago. I just go to God. I go to the Lord. And boy, I tell the Lord, and what's God? God give me the container of Bibles. God give me the money to build the Bible college building. The Lord, that last year, we were able to build 5 church buildings. You saw them. I'm just telling you, boy, that communion we have with Him. There's a triology in the Bible. We call it a triology. You take Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, James 1:25. All of them say the same thing pretty much. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Not to have physical, material blessings per se, but to have spiritual success before the throne room of God. And oh, listen, it's not to my own amiss or selfish desire, but it is for the work of God. We faint not because of the condition of the world, because of the cross we carry, and because, my friend, the conversion of our own lives, and because our communion with Him. Boy, I admire those men. You sat under them, I sat under them, that walked with God. All that had the hand of God, had the ear of God, had the touch of God upon them. Let me tell you something, church. God's not through yet. Amen. God's got work for us to do. Amen. There's much more to do. Listen, God's bigger than the COVID. God's bigger than our problems. God's bigger than our dilemmas. God knows all about this. Oh, listen, hey, we're still here. Amen. The church is still here. And there's a work for us to do. Then last of all, number 5, amen. We'll get to it here. Look at it. Go with me to verse 17. And the Bible says, for our light affliction. If you'll turn over to chapter 11, I won't get into it, but in chapter 11, from verse number 24 to verse 27, he lists 23 things that happened to him. And number 23 numerically, by Ed Vallow's book, means death. And we believe probably that right in there in 2 Corinthians from Acts 20, that all 23 things per se happened before Acts 20. But they're not all in the book of Acts. He listed. He said of the Jews, 5 times received our 40 stripes, save one. Probably, numerically, that could have been 195 lashes. But he calls it light affliction. What are we facing? What are we enduring? what is out there before us that really has hindered us or harnessed us or holding us back. We should be triumphant. And my friend, listen to our great high priest, the Lord Jesus, there in the heavens. Amen. We have the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And all, listen, he says, in other words, but our light affliction. I just want to point that out and show it to you there. But anyway, notice with me in that verse, he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Notice the verb worker for us are far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Then in verse number 18, in other words, comprehending the work of God, while we look not at the things which are seen. If I look at the things which are seen, Manasseh, well, Anthony, God's laid on my heart to build that Bible college building. COVID's everywhere. I said, can we do it? Sure we can do it. We'll work around it. You saw the building. They built it. God supplied the money and they built it. And then we shipped that container. Why are we looking at the things which are not, which are seen? And sometimes we get our eyes upon things that suppress us, harness us, hold us back, stay our hands. But then notice that next part of that verse, in that verse, he says, while we look at things, he says, that are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so, you know, I'm looking. I'm listening. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up. Boy, I'm looking. I'm longing. Oh, I want to work. I want to stay faithful. Oh, listen, hey, the Lord, one day the church is going to be taken out. The rapture of the church, we're going to the tribunal, the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, listen, I want to have some crowns. Maybe you'll have that pastor's crown. Maybe some will have that soul winner's crown, crown of rejoicing. Could be some of us may have that martyr's crown. Revelation 6 or 5. Boy, I want to have some, Revelation 5, have some crowns to lay at His feet. At least one. We lose. Don't lose. We faint not. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Go all the way with God, comprehending the work of the Lord. And Paul said in Acts 20, that I might finish my course. In Acts 2 Timothy 4, 7, 8 years later, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me. He mentioned all that. So, beloved, this morning, my message, my heart, my drive, my ambition that God put in my heart. I thought about this morning early, 5:30 this morning. I wanted to go back into Solomon's temple. And then I wanted to go into the Babylonian captivity and all the things that happened at the end of his life. And, of course, how the temple had glory. They had gladness, they had gratefulness, they had given, they had guidance in that chapter. And then how that God worked him, the heart of the king, Cyrus, and stirred him up. And God brought Zerubbabel and routed 50,000 Jews from Babylon to Jerusalem. And then God used him post-captivity prophets of Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, And what happened when they come to Jerusalem? And then, of course, the work was stopped. The foundation there, and there was about a 15-year lapse. And then all of a sudden, Haggai, chapter 2. And the Lord in chapter 1, chapter 2, and how He spoke to them from Haggai. But here's my point. He said there, He said, which of you ancient men saw the house in their first glory? You and I, we've seen revival. We've seen the power of God. We've seen back in the 70s and after I got saved, 73, and I've seen all over the world. I preached to 5,000 and 6,000 people around the world in meetings together. I've seen 1,000 get saved on a Sunday. But which of you ancient men, you've seen the house in the first glory? When we think about the immutability of God in Hebrews 13:8, but then the Lord said there in that chapter 2, He said, how do you see it now? Just because we saw revival years ago, we had large crowds years ago, and we were seeing thousands saved years ago, and we're seeing so much happen back years ago, my friend, God can still work in our generation. God can still work with a handful. God can still work with a small nucleus. Amen. God don't have to have a big crowd to work. Well, God honors faith. God honors consistency and dependence upon Him and belief in Him and trust in Him. But let's all stand this morning.